Welcome this morning to Minnesota Reads, and we are tickled, as usual, to have the inimitable, the incomparable Tom Isbell, our guest. His trilogy, the final book in the Prey trilogy called The Release, has been, you know, released. I love it. So I mentioned to you that, well, actually, I just said a minute ago, I said, when are you going to start writing about real social ills? You know, instead of people being captured and that sort of thing. And no, actually, what I'd like you to start with, if you can, without spoiling anything, can you bring us kind of up to speed on the trilogy? And I'm guessing that because it is a trilogy, it really is best to read the books in order.
Yeah, it helps.
Okay.
Yeah, it helps. Well, you know, book one, The Prey, was this discovery of these 16-year-olds that they were being used for experiments, that they were being categorized as less thans. And so it's really about them trying to escape to another territory in this dystopian future, basically to save themselves. The Capture, book two, is really their attempt to save their friends, realizing, you know, they could save themselves, but they've left all these people behind. So there's that work. And then this book three, well, it's saving the country because, okay, they can save themselves, they can save their friends, but as long as these leaders are in charge who created this dystopian world in the first place, things aren't going to change. So it's up to them to save the new country, which is called the Republic of the True America.
Now, I'm guessing, not a writer, but I'm guessing that as you're working on the story and you're juggling characters and you're juggling plot twists and you're juggling some of the kind of minutia or small view of the story, you're not necessarily backing way up and looking at the big picture and maybe the social issues. But, you know, I was teasing you a minute ago, but I do see in this series then a very important social issue being raised, which is how big is our circle of concern?
Mm.
How big is the circle of people that we care about and that we try to save, you know, beyond our immediate family, beyond our community, beyond our country? How big is the circle?
Right.
So from that standpoint, I think that would be a useful topic to explore a little bit at this time. And you had intended that, of course, all along.
Well, I had intended, I mean, the book, in a sense, is inspired by two kind of unlikely sources that I put together. I mean, the Dr. Seuss book, Sneetches with Stars, and then the Holocaust and how we categorize people for no logical reason whatsoever. And that's exactly what's happened to these characters. They've been categorized as less thans. And so then it's their struggle to prove their worth. So in a sense, you know, that struggle has been there from the beginning. And you're right. These concentric circles grow larger with each book.
When you write something that is set in an alternative reality, it would occur to me that that this alternative reality needs to have an internal logic, and there needs to be some things that can happen and some things that can't, because otherwise it just simply becomes a free for all. And you know, every time you get in a jam, you just invent a laser or something, and you.
Ooh, that's good.
The author just.
I gotta write this down.
So
laser. Okay.
So what kind of discipline or research or whatever does it take to, in addition to writing a compelling book, to develop that kind of internal logic so that there are constraints on you as an author and you say, no, I can't do that. They can't conjure a laser out of thin air, for example.
Yeah.
I know it's heartbreaking when you get to that point, no doubt.
Well, you have to create the rules of the world because you create this world. I think that's one of the appeals of dystopian literature is you create the world. I mean, and you can start anywhere. So I think that's one of the fun things about it. And then you have readers who, like Mr. Ryan Gallagher, for example, who reads everything I write, who are pretty blunt and say, no, you can't do this. You can't invent a laser out of thin air. Not believable. And so you come up with choices and you test them and you go, all right, that wouldn't work in this world. And you try to find a consistency to it. At the same time, creating surprises for yourself and the reader.
Right. It's always fascinating to talk to authors and to listen to them say over and over and over again that this character surprised them or this situation surprised them. And it's like, no, wait a minute. You're creating this, and yet there's something in the process where authors keep getting surprised. One of the other things that I was curious about is why you chose this particular setting for these books instead of, for example, writing a book or a series of books about people who have all these interesting stories about this river that they live on, for example. You know, as and I'm, you know, I'm joshing you a little because, of course, you did write the theater production of One River, Many Stories.
Right.
But I'm wondering why you did go so far out of your, I hope, so far out of your everyday life. You know, you have a life that I don't know anything about, Tom, and I hope that this is far out of your everyday life. But why did you go there instead of something, you know, a little bit more closer to home conceptually?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I think it's fun to explore all kinds of things. And I have been writing thrillers, adult and young adult, for a while, for about a dozen years before this. And so this didn't seem that far removed. And I had been doing other things in the theater that were perhaps I'd written a number, for example, of plays for theater for young audiences, Teddy Roosevelt and the Ghostly Mistletoe and Teddy Roosevelt and the Treasure of Ursa Major, which are for a family-friendly younger audience. So it's fun to kind of explore different aspects.
You've of course written this Prey series, which is a thriller series for young adults.
Right.
You have written a textbook on acting, which is fascinating, but it's kind of, you know, cut and dried.
But it's perfect.
It is perfect.
But
okay. what I'm really concerned about is when are you going to write some comedy?
Ah, well, yeah, I'm concerned about that too.
Not as concerned as I am.
I have a thick. It used to be a hard copy folder of ideas that I called ideas, and I would just stuff things in there. Now, of course, this is all on my computer. I have a document of all these story ideas, and one is a comedy, and it's got the most notes. I mean, pages and pages and pages of notes for this book. I don't know when I will write it. I mean, yesterday I had two more ideas for it. That day will come.
Actors say that comedy is much more difficult
it is.
Than drama.
Yeah.
You're also an author. Is writing comedy much more difficult than writing, for example, of something like your Prey series?
I think it's difficult because it's really easy to be heavy-handed and overwrite. I have a tendency to overwrite in my early drafts anyway. Some people would say even in my finished drafts. And
but that's what you have people like Ryan Gallagher for. I mean,
yeah.
But
oh, that's why we have him.
But
okay,
is,
all right.
That is what I think anyone who puts their work out there has their readers or their
yes.
audience members or their whatever to rein you back and
you're
to
right.
bring out the best of you.
Exactly.
But, you know, you're a mildly funny guy on occasion, and I just sort of think that you're you know, there's a whole world of... You know, of outrageous giggles that you're kind of missing.
Yeah, there is. Well, that book, when I write that book, I just need to commit to it and write it.
Well, it's either a book or a play, and it's about a small community radio station that spells community.
Ah,
K-U-M-D.
Community.
Community.
Yes,
yeah.
Community.
I think, you know, there's eccentric characters.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And the set isn't going to cost anything to build because it's, you know, kind of shabby
nice.
and not very big. And yeah. I mean, I think it's got a lot of potential.
We just need a lot of CD cases.
We do.
Don't even need the CDs.
No. That's the magic of, you know, theater, books, whatever. I like it.
Right.
I like it. We'll talk. Congratulations. Tell me what's next. You got to tell me what's next. I need a teaser.
Well,
other than the idea folder stuff,
well, yeah,
full of comedy ideas.
There is a book, a new series I've been working on. I can't talk specifically about it. I'm so excited
because
for it.
Because you haven't made it up yet?
No,
it's
written.
They won't let you.
And who's that? Yeah, they won't let me.
I'm
lucky they let me out.
You're a person of interest in the literary world.
Yes,
they're watching you.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping sometime this year, sooner rather than later, we can announce what that is. But I'm very excited by that. In the meantime, I'm excited to finish this trilogy, which was kind of bittersweet wrapping it up. I grew very attached to these characters, so it was tough to say goodbye to them.
You didn't say, I need another book.
For this one, I wrapped it up I intentionally wrapped it up. I think it's
you had
good.
To make
they're
yourself
good.
Walk away.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom, thanks so much for coming in. It's always so great to see you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Tom Isbell and his new book, his final book in the Prey trilogy. It's called The Release, and it is out right now, as a matter of fact. We'd like to thank Tom for coming in this morning. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.